Welcome back to Canna Week, brought to you by New Frontier Data, where we deliver top headlines in cannabis and hear experts weigh in on the impact these stories are having on the industry. I'm your host, Abby Kaufman. A recent article from LA Weekly asks, what are the benefits of CBD for pets? To help answer this question, we are joined by two experts on this subject from Heirloom Pets, which produces hemp-derived CBD products for animals. Jason Lysak is president of Heirloom Pets, and Brandy Delancey is their chief marketing officer and owner. Jason, Brandy, welcome to Canna Week.
Thanks for having us.
Our pleasure. Thank you. And we are also joined by New Frontier Data's own director of industry analytics, Dr. Molly McCann. Welcome back to Canna Week, Molly.
Thanks, Abby.
All right. So to dive right in, since the 2018 Farm Bill removed hemp-derived products from Schedule 1, countless CBD products have been introduced and experienced by U.S. consumers. Gummies, tinctures, pills, beverages, bath bombs, attire. If you can think it, someone has put CBD in it. So starting broadly for our listeners, Jason and or Brandy, what are some of the benefits of CBD for humans and pets?
I think that some of the main ones that people are using it for are, especially in the pet industry, are stress and anxiety, or things like mobility and inflammation, pain relief. Those are seen to be the main reasons folks are buying our product as well as others.
Absolutely. Anything you'd like to add to that, Brandy? Or
no, there's a whole host of benefits with hemp, but those tend to be the reasons why most people are looking for these types of products.
Absolutely. And so, Molly, I know that you've done a lot of work and a lot of research on the consumer surveys with CBD. So from your experience, what are some of the primary reasons people choose to consume CBD?
Yeah, they're very similar to what Jason and Brandy were mentioning there about pain relief. We see is the number one reason that most in the U.S. that most consumers are using CBD, human consumers are using CBD, but also anti-inflammatory, right? And inflammatory is tissues like joint tissues, but also intestinal issues like IBS. And anti-proliferative slows tumor growth. So a lot of people, as a part of a larger cancer treatment, might also be taking CBD. Reducing anxiety and stress is a really big one, especially since the pandemic started. A lot of people are more tuned in with how they're feeling in terms of their anxiety. And promoting sleep. Those are the biggest ones that we see. And the human body, and actually all animals, have the endocannabinoid system. Which exists, receptors, cannabinoid receptors exist throughout the body. So that's why it seems like, the cannabis plant might have so many different benefits in different parts of the body, is because we have receptors all throughout our bodies, and so do all animals.
Fascinating. And so I know that Heirloom Pets produces products with broad-spectrum water-soluble hemp. So given the different types of cannabinoids and endocannabinoid receptors throughout the body for humans and pets, what are the pros and cons of a broad spectrum product as opposed to a CBD distillate or isolate, especially for pets, Brandy or Jason?
So for us, it's keeping the pet as safe as we can. And the THC was important to us when it comes to dogs, especially where they are allergic to it. It's poisonous to them. So we needed to ensure that we had the minimal amount of THC in our blend, but we wanted to be sure that we still achieve that entourage effect. When we look at the definitions of broad and full spectrum, they're very difficult to tell the two apart. I mean, it really is. And from all of our conversations with science, with food people, as well as with our retail store owners, what we're hearing is that once the government gets it together and does their job of validating the benefits of hemp CBD, what we're hearing is that they're going to mandate everything being broad spectrum, okay, that is a consumable product. Now, for companies that are already out on the market and they're pushing, pushing might not be the best word, but they're marketing full spectrum products, and they say they have 0.3% THC. Broad spectrum products also say they have 0.3% THC. When the government does chime in and says everything has to be broad spectrum, we're not going to have to go back and change our packaging, but more importantly, explain to our customers, why are you switching now? And it's, you know, basically we'd be saying, well, it's the same stuff in the package. We're just changing the name. Well, what happened there? And that creates an integrity issue. But it's, you know, most importantly, it's the safety of our consumer, which is very hairy and has more than two legs. So that's the important part of why we did this. It's erring on the side of caution and making sure that the stuff works and it works properly and there's no residual after effects or issues.
Absolutely. And so, Brandy, since you're involved in the marketing side as the chief marketing officer, do you do the parents of the more than two like consumers of your product? Do you notice a difference? Is there still work to be done with the consumer education piece between the broad spectrum and distillate versus isolate?
Yeah, absolutely. We have found that most definitely consumer education is the most important thing. We are really still fighting against the fact that there are so many products out there kind of labeled all over the place. It's the wild, wild west of an industry. And, you know, there's people that are in it just to make money and there are people in it to really help. And, you know, we made a decision very early on to be helpful and to try to do things the right way. You know, we became members of the NASC, the National Animal Supplement Council, very early on so that we could understand what the packaging and compliance mandates were and what we needed to kind of pay attention to and how we needed to get things out there. So, you know, we had a big barrier between marketing our product to our consumers and staying compliant. So that is a really fine line that we walk every single day, is to make sure that the consumer knows what they're getting, how to use it, and what it's for, the why, and also staying in that compliancy kind of realm and being safe, especially since our consumers, even though their parents are buying the product for them, the end user can't make up their own mind.
Yeah, I imagine that'd be quite a unique kind of challenge in the pet product. And Molly, is there anything you'd like to add or expand on about kind of the consumer education side of it as far as the formulations with broad spectrum versus a distillate or isolate data?
Sure. It's not necessarily our survey data kind of affirms what our guests have been saying, that consumers still have a lot of learning to do. Even just for themselves and the products that they consume, let alone their pets, there's another layer of questions, I'm sure, when they're giving it to pets. So it's really encouraging to hear that you all are thinking so much about not having to change the message halfway through or, you know, down the line to be able to have that consistent message, I think is really important. But on the distillate versus, or on the isolate versus broad spectrum CBD. From what I have read, there's still pretty little clinical research in terms of the difference in efficacy between the two. If anything, though, therapeutically, the broad spectrum may be a little bit easier to work with, because with broad spectrum, there's a direct correlation between the dose and the efficacy. So if you take some and you're not feeling the effects that you want, you can take a little bit more until the effects that you want kick in, as opposed to with CBD isolate, there's a peak efficacy dosage. And if you've taken some and you're not feeling the effects you want, you don't know if you need to take some more to get to that peak efficacy, or maybe you've already taken too much and then taking more won't help you. And you need to wait until the next session, right? The next time to feel the effects that you want. So in terms of the product being more, easier to use and easier to find that effective therapeutic dose. And especially, of course, if we're talking about giving this to your animal and you can't take it yourself, it's even harder to notice those effects. So I don't think, from what I understand from the research, it's not necessarily that isolate is less effective if you dial in that correct dose and you know exactly how much you want to be taking. But for learning for yourself, where is that dose? And, it's a little bit more forgiving to go with a broad spectrum product.
Molly mentioned an interesting topic, and it's getting that dose right. And the way that really our product stands out, totally different than anything else on the market, is we have a food topper and a bone broth, and then a long lasting chew. Mainly what I'm referencing and what I'm about to say are our bone broth and our food topper, since the bone broth is obviously a liquid, but our food topper is a finely milled powder, okay? So to what Molly was saying about getting that right dose, we can, with ours, our recommended dose for a dog up to 25 pounds is half a teaspoon, and it's basically a piece of kibble. But if you give your 9-pound chihuahua a half a teaspoon and he immediately goes and goes to sleep, obviously you can dial it back. Or, if you have that big Rottweiler that, you've given a full teaspoon to and he's still, a nut, you can give more. But we're also, for us, and it's it came down to the onset time, and we experienced with oils that generally if somebody is giving their animal a biscuit that has an oil, it's an oil-based treat, they're giving it to the animal, and then they're going, have a nice day, and going out to work, right? I mean, before COVID. But with the oils take at least an hour for the onset to begin or to be felt or shown. Where with ours, since we use a water soluble product, we use no oils in any of our products, ours starts working in 7 to 8 minutes. Okay. So there's a huge difference. And when we're giving our family members these solutions, we think we're doing good. We are. I'm not saying that we're not doing good, but when I go and I go, here you go, Charlie, and head out the door, well, she's still worked up for an hour. And I think I've done something good. Now, if I was to think and realize that she's still, I can come home and see what she's done to the house, right? In that hour that's taken her to potentially calm down. But I feel bad. I mean, I feel guilty because what I think I'm doing is not working. And I'm spending a lot of money on it as well. So that dosing and that on time or that onset time is extremely important when it comes to these solutions. And thinking about that as you're looking for a solution, whether it be for yourself or your animal. I mean, those are, what is the bioavailability and what is the onset time? And with the broad spectrum that we chose and that we have a proprietary blend. It's a water soluble broad spectrum CBD, starts working in 7 to 8 minutes, and our bioavailability is over 90%. so those were the two main things for us that had to work and work well. So
absolutely. And so in addition to product form and the broad spectrum versus distillate and onset time, so Brandy, with such a wide range of CBD products in varying form and with a range of quality assurances, how can consumers and the parents of the consumers ensure that they are making the safest choices for their pets and themselves?
Yeah, that is going to be really important, I think, as we move into this industry. It's really, I go back to the Wild Wild West thing. There's these CBD products popping up left, right, and center. They're all over Amazon. They're all over the internet. You can find them in convenience stores. Everywhere you look, you see them. But we go back to our integrity and really making sure that our products are effective as well as compliant, making sure that when our consumer comes and sees our package, and whether it's in a store or on our website or on Amazon, that it is all the same information and our packaging is 100%, compliant along the lines of the things that the, regulatory body wants to see on shelves. We do that for our safety, for our consumer safety, as well as our retail partner safety. But then, the other thing to look at is the certificates of analysis. Every brand that sells a CBD-based product should have those and should have them somewhere very visible, whether it's, on their packaging, on their website, somewhere that they can be found. Our packaging has a QR code. Every single one of our products has a QR code. And when you scan that, it takes you to the page on our website that shows you all of those. And they get updated with every new batch of product that's created. So, making sure that the consumer is educating themselves as to, what they're supposed to be seeing and looking for those pieces before they make a purchase. Not only the most expensive products on the market are the ones that are the safest. So most of the time, you can probably spend less and get a better quality product. That was really important to us, was to create a product that was affordable for everyone, because some of these CBD products are so expensive that, your young family with pets couldn't afford those if they really needed them. So, you have to measure quality along with all of those other elements that we have really tried hard to educate our consumers on, and we're continuing to do that every day.
Absolutely. And so, Molly, is there anything you'd like to add about consumers and consumer safety when it comes to CBD product selection across different forms and different quality assurances?
I just think in terms of consumer education, I agree. I think people are starting to know to look for some indication of quality beyond just what brands say, because especially, I think we're getting over it now, but the worst of it was maybe like late 2019, everyone had a CBD product. Some of them didn't even include any CBD in it. And people, for that reason, a lot of consumers who didn't already know what to look for got really wary of CBD in general and were like, maybe this whole thing isn't real. So I think brands are working their way back from that, and consumers, along with those brands who have stuck around and have done a really good job educating the consumer and communicating what's important, I think consumers now are starting to come back. And so it's going to be, this is the next evolution of CBD consumer. The consumer is still pretty young. For a while, it was a brand new product and they didn't know what to expect or, what to look for. And then there was this wave of, of doubt that maybe we shouldn't be trusting this. And now there's enough information coming back that they're starting to build some more trust in the product and know more specifically what they want to use it for. Whereas before, it was, what we saw was most people were using it on the recommendation of someone else who knew more. So people might, get from their kids or from a family member, say, try this for your anxiety, joint pain, whatever it was, and they might try it. But if they're not the ones seeking it out for themselves and knowing exactly what use case they want, I think that's where we got this. We ended up in the situation that we were in, and we're slowly getting out of that through good consumer education.
Yeah, and I guess the timing of that must have been interesting with any kind of distrust or skepticism around CBD 2019, and then 2020, the COVID-19 pandemic happened. So, Jason, how has the pandemic affected business? Like, has the spike in pet adoptions translated into increased sales at all?
So for us, that's a very interesting question. And the reason it's interesting is we launched our product on, I want to say, March 2nd of last year.
Oh, wow.
So that was the first Monday of March. And, we spent eight months of developing the, first sourcing the correct hemp CBD, making our product correctly, labeling, packaging, all that stuff. And then, the first weekend of March comes along and we're raring to go. And I go out and I sell 5 stores. And that next Monday, pandemic, quarantine, sweet. I mean, wow. It was that, you get that, what moment. And Randy and I looked at each other and, I mean, there was 2 questions that we had to answer. One of them, and it was, do we fold up or do we dig in and push on? Obviously, we went with option B. And what we did was we really hunkered down and we recreated some of our packaging. We created our road trip stick. And in September, we relaunched, and to a lot of fanfare. We finally got our broth in November. And since November, we have been able to partner with over 100 retail stores. We picked up 2 distributors across the country, and we're working on 2 more. So all sales to us is growth right now. We're fortunately a COVID success story. And I think a lot of that has to do with how different we are in our delivery as well as our hemp. So that question to us, when we saw it, when you sent it over, we sort of chuckled and figured it was a good opportunity to just sort of tell our story. We're very, very proud about where we've come from and what we've been through. Because it hasn't been easy, but it's been worth it. We love this. We love what we're doing. We know that we're different, and we're innovative and taking the product where it has evolved from. Where I like to use the analogy of 2000, the iPhone came out. Well, 2021, I think we're at iPhone 12, and oil was iPhone. We, with water soluble, we're 2021, okay? And when, you can go into Google and very easily search what's the bioavailability of CBD oil, and comes back with 10 to 20%, and we have the product that is 90%+ bioavailable. It's like, if you went into the liquor store to buy a bottle of vodka, and you saw a bottle of vodka that was 90 proof and one that was 15 proof, which would you buy if they were both $60? I mean, it's sort of a no brainer. So,
yeah.
So anyways, I know that's a little bit, I went maybe a little bit off of topic of the question, but.
No, not at all. It's very, very relevant. These are all very unprecedented times, and I'm so glad to, we did not realize that timeline. So glad that that came up, and I'm glad that you are one of the pandemic success stories, and that with all of the pet adoptions in light of the pandemic and everybody being home with their dogs more, I hope that continues to help.
I adopted one. Hey, come here.
So I see him in the background.
10-month-old bull mastiff that showed up in the middle of the pandemic.
And, very cute.
She's been a lot of fun for me, and actually, Brandy got one as well. So we joined the masses with bringing in new family members.
Yeah, just to add to that, I think that it's also interesting to note that, you know, everybody made these adoptions during the pandemic, but I think the bigger test of this specific industry is going to be when everyone goes back to work.
Yeah.
And those pets that have been home with them from day one and have been home every day with them, you know, how they will be able to adjust as people start going back to the new normal. So I think that we will probably see some interesting data coming in as that starts to happen as well.
Yeah, that's an excellent point with some of that, like, separation anxiety and how post-pandemic, how that'll affect the need for pet consumption. But Molly, on the human factor side of things, how has the pandemic overall affected consumption of cannabis products?
It's really complicated, and the short answer is that it's different for everyone, right? As humans, a lot of our consumption behaviors, not just cannabis, just any kind of consumption behaviors, are tied to our routines. So of course, a year ago, everyone's routines changed in some way, and therefore a lot of our behaviors changed because, you know, you're not taking the train to go to work to buy a cup of coffee before you go into the office, right? Or, you know, getting done at the end of the day, commuting home, making a cocktail at the end of the day, right? So a lot of our routine behaviors have really changed. And for some people, that means, you know, when they start to build new routines, you know, during lockdown and then after lockdown, for a lot of people, those new routines facilitated more cannabis use and CBD use. And for some of them, those, you know, those behaviors that were tied to consumption mostly went away and they've stopped entirely. So the short answer is, for cannabis consumers, we see that about half of them have stayed pretty much the same in the amount that they're consuming, the frequency they're consuming. And then the other half is split pretty evenly between consuming more and consuming less, which is what we would expect, because despite, you know, what we know about a lot of the conditions that people are experiencing now, lending themselves to cannabis use for anxiety or for depression or for sleep, a lot of people, you know, just the change in their lives that happened because of the lockdown and quarantine and, you know, just the way our lives have changed since then, maybe those changes have alleviated some of the stresses that they had beforehand that they might've been using cannabis for. So, it's really fascinating. I mean, I am so fortunate in my job to be able to follow the consumers and try to understand. This is a really unprecedented time trying to understand how people's behaviors are changing. The short answer is that it's, you know, routines are changing, and here we are looking forward to a year where hopefully it's going to change again. So I think we can expect to continue to see, you know, new habits being formed for different people in different ways. And I'm really curious to see how cannabis and CBD fits into that.
Absolutely. And I'll be curious to see how it affects the pets as well, like you mentioned. So Brandy and Jason, this has flown by, but do either of you have, I'll give you each of some time, any final thoughts for our listeners or predictions for the future of CBD in 2021 and going forward?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like we said before, consumer education is important. That's something that we are really working hard on in this year and moving forward. So, you know, trying to position ourselves as a form of education, not just selling something as a solution, but also offering a bit of education for people to be helpful. But, you know, we are constantly trying to figure out new ways that our product can be used in an easy format, in an affordable format. And, you know, we do have some exciting projects coming down the line for the year as we continue to grow. And, you know, we're just babies. So we look forward to growing into our big girl and big boy pants. But, you know, this is just such an exciting industry. It's, you know, I'm learning every single day. I came from a background of web design and development. So, you know, for me, this is like the most fun educational job that I've ever had. And, you know, I love dogs. I've always had dogs. And, you know, to be able to offer some support to not only my pets, but, you know, people all over the world's pets, it's just such an exciting, gratifying position to be in.
Yeah. You know, as this industry evolves, there's new ways and new solutions that are coming out. And the consumer is becoming more and more educated and aware of the not only the benefits of this this great plant, but they're understanding what's good and what's not, and how to take them and how not to. And they're, you know, for me, when back to when we started it, and I think I said it earlier, but I just questioned, the immediate question that I had when I started seeing hemp oil was that oil and water. You know, what do we know about oil and water? And, you know, oil is great to rub on the skin. You know, some of the oils are great to ingest, and they have some real great nutritional and vitamin aspects to them. But, excuse me, as a delivery system, a suspension device basically for the CBDs and Gs and Hs and Ls and the other 120 CBs in the chain, it's not the most effective delivery device. And we wanted to, you know, we had a customer say, "You're late to the game in the CBD realm." And my response was, "No, we came in where innovation allowed us to come in, because we didn't, you know." Somebody said, "Well, why are you doing this?" Or what? No, what does heirloom mean to the brand? And, you know, heirloom is to summarize, and I don't know the exact definition right now, but it's an important part, whether it's an animal or an heirloom. In your family, you know, this coffee cup could have been my great, 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 great grandmother's, and that's why it's important to me. But when we're working with that customer that is so important to the family, that we need to make sure that what we do works. And so when, you know, that I answered that question, it wasn't all that I just threw up on you guys, but it was, if we wanted to just make money, we would sell oil. We wanted to make something that actually worked, that actually benefited, that science and biology drove. And that's where we started with this. And we're just, I think that we're really on the beginning of a wave with a water-soluble product that the consumer is going to start to realize is out there. And it's going to start to use more and more. I don't know. I'd actually like to hear Molly's comment to that, because she probably has a whole lot more knowledge than I do just from dealing with the consumer.
Well, on Evie's question of the prediction for the future of CBD, I think I want to echo what both of you have said, Brandy and Jason, is that this is still a really young industry. And there's still innovation happening I mean, every week there's something new that's going on in terms of formulation or products or you know, new research that affirms the use for some reason or another. And so it's going to be really interesting, again, thinking about, you know, I'll take an optimistic view, which is that this summer we could have, you know, we could see the end of the pandemic and go back to something that's normal. But in this industry, we won't be going back to normal because so much has changed in the last year. So many new innovations have happened and the industry is changing so quickly. Regulations are changing so quickly that even if it's just a year that we've been shut down, cannabis looks totally different now. So I think it'll be really exciting. I think we're going to continue to see new innovations. We're going to continue to see more and more informed consumers, diversification of products. And I'm really excited for it.
Absolutely. And I wish we could continue the conversation, but that is the time for this week's episode of CannaWeek. Many thanks to our guests, Jason and Brandy and Molly, for joining us today. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Don't forget to like and subscribe to CannaWeek. And if you haven't already, be sure to check out our cannabis-infused products report series available exclusively in Equio. To sign up for your free 7-day trial, visit equio.io. That's EQUIO.io. I'm your host, Abby Kaufman, and I'll see you next week.
New Frontier Data provides this podcast for entertainment purposes only. Nothing stated in this podcast should be taken as legal or financial advice. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by the company. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Views and opinions expressed by New Frontier Data employees are those of the employees and do not necessarily reflect the view of the company or any of its officials. If you have any questions about this disclaimer, please contact our legal department.